And off to sleep you go, Cletus.
Oh! Here comes the Kool-Aid through the straw.
This guy's like, I gotta get out of here.
He's like, yeah, I don't know if I get paid enough for this.
Oh, a little Shakespeare. Oh, shit. This isn't supposed
to
happen.
That seems extremely painful. Oh, no.
Nope.
Bruh.
Yeah, let's get out of here,
he's about
guys.
To kill all their family? No way. What a... Oh. This is why, like, why did you even... See, this is why you don't get a front row seat to a death, you know? Because this might happen.
Ah.
Bro, I don't know why this man's not moving. You're dead. You're dead.
Oh, that's probably it.
You're dead. Wait.
I'd get out of here, Warden.
That's good. Oh! Welcome back to New Rockstars. We just got a new look into the Sony Venomverse with its latest installment, Venom: Let There Be Carnage. We saw a new symbiote threat with some fresh daddy issues and possibly the seed for the continuation of the family line with Toxin. And now that Venom is out of San Francisco, it looks like the Lethal Protector has found himself a new target, a new tasty target. This is Inside Marvel, our after show for Sony's latest cinematic release that exists in a nearby universe to the MCU, Venom: Let There Be Carnage. My name is MT, and we're going to talk about some of the biggest revelations and burning questions left over from the film. And discussing this all with me today is my brother, off-screen producer, Brandon. What's
Hello,
going on,
MT.
Brandon?
Hello, MT. I've got 80 billion light years of Hive knowledge in my head, and I can't wait to talk about Venom 2. Let There Be Carnage.
That's a lot of light years.
That's a lot of light years, buddy.
A lot of knowledge. You can get a free Lamborghini from that. New Lamborghini. Anyway, before we dive into our questions left over from the film, let's do a quick plot summary, shall we? Because
let's
we begin in the year 1996, 4 years after I was born. So, you know,
don't age me, MT. Don't age me.
But yes, we begin in 1996, where we first meet a young Cletus Cassidy and Francis Barrison, who have pledged their love for each other while serving time in a mental institution, like everyone else does.
I mean, if you've killed your family and you're stuck in a mental institution, you might as well find some love.
Ain't no one gonna show up for the wedding anyways. But Francis has incredible powers that are growing beyond her control. And as she's being taken away, she makes one final escape attempt using her shrieking powers, only to be shot in the eye by a young cop named Mulligan. And fast forward to present day, where Eddie Brock is trying to get his journalism career back on track after he messed it up in the first movie, but now, you know, things are getting better for him. And he's the only one Cletus Cassidy will even talk to as he wastes away on death row. And Venom waits impatiently inside of Eddie, spending a lot of time eating chocolate and chicken to fulfill his need for brains, because, you know, it's really weird how chocolate and brains have, like, that one thing in common. And Venom, of course, wants to be the hero saving the day and eating bad guys, because, you know, why not? What he does best. And he just
you can't trust the prison system. You gotta eat the bad guys.
Right? It's more efficient.
On one of his trips to visit Cletus, Venom notices all the cryptic writing on Cletus' cell wall, and he later uses his impeccable memory and drawing skills to show Eddie what it means. I mean, I love the fast drawing.
It's like serious, like Venom Ross in this bitch. Like.
Yeah, it was like a CAD machine just drawing it out really fast. You're too young
happy
for that,
MT. Happy little trees, Eddie. Happy little trees.
And what he finds are clues to more of Cletus's victims. And after Eddie shares this information with the cops, the public is out for justice. And the governor of California reinstitutes the death penalty. And now Cletus is going to die. But before he officially die, he wants to talk to Eddie one last time because he thinks something is up with old Eddie Brock. And during this last interview, he bites Eddie and gets a taste of his blood. And as well as the symbiote that's inside. That's no blood he's ever tasted before. And when it's finally time for Cletus's execution, the symbiote is now inside of him and makes itself known. It's Carnage, baby! Cletus breaks out of San Quentin, but not before killing a bunch of guards. He gets a glow up because he finds a guy whose outfit he really likes and bites his head off. He gets a new car, and then he Carnage hacks the internet with his little red fingers.
I know, that was so weird. I was like, you can do that? That's kind of a very convenient power. But
why not? Why not? And he finds out that his long lost love, Francis, is still alive. He breaks her out of the secretive Ravencroft facility. But when she uses her shrieking powers to aid in the escape, Carnage is not too happy about it and a little rude.
Oh, no. Yeah, because those symbiotes do not like sound at all.
They don't like it.
And, yeah.
Sound and fire. Sound and fire.
Get in the middle of their relationship. Getting a little testy there.
That's the problem with a three-person relationship, MT. Someone's going to be unhappy at some point.
Right? You know, whenever I hear about those poly relationships, I'm like, hey, man, do what you got to do. But that sounds a little bit messy to
me,
man.
It's difficult.
But, of course, meanwhile, Eddie and Venom are on a break. And Venom goes host-hopping and, you know, sort of super messed up because I'm pretty sure a lot of those people died.
Yeah, kills a few innocent people along the way, maybe.
Right? And he's just like, hey, I just want to go to a party. Just hopping from person to person. Like, a human Uber or some shit like that. I don't know. but yes, Venom goes host hopping, does some partying, but winds up back at Mrs. Chen's shop because no one is as good as Eddie's body. I mean, have you seen Tom Hardy? Good God. Specimen. But with the help of Anne, Eddie and Venom are reunited. But it isn't long before she's kidnapped by Shriek, along with Detective Mulligan, to lure Eddie and Venom to Carnage so that he can kill his daddy. A lot of people have daddy issues daddy in comic issues. Book movies. I don't know
this
if you know
this. Film's all about daddy issues.
It's all about daddy issues all the time. And of course, an epic battle occurs in a cathedral, and both Shriek and Carnage are ultimately defeated. And Venom devours Carnage like every dad should, I guess. Just devour your child. Just kidding. Don't eat your babies, please.
I mean, if they're murderous symbiotes, eat your baby.
Yes.
But otherwise, let them be.
Venom devours Carnage and bites off Cletus's head for good measure, because you got to be safe. You never know with crazy people.
You never know.
And Detective Mulligan survives the encounter, but is he the same man? Probably not. He got really messed up. He definitely needs at least a little bit of a, you know, chiropractor stuff, because his back doesn't seem like he's doing too good. And knowing that the police will be on the hunt for Eddie and Venom, they escape San Francisco for a tropical paradise. Mm. In the post-credits scene, Venom lets Eddie in on a little bit of the billions of years of collective knowledge of his alien hive mind just before they are pulled into a different universe. A universe with a very familiar face, Tom Holland, who will get a little nibble by Venom, probably, in a future film, which I'm very excited
about. He wants a taste.
But before we get into all that, our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop just dropped a shirt inspired by Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And this shirt is called Symbiotic Chaos and features the epic struggle between our chaotic black and red alien symbiotes. It's a really cool design that won't be available in this universe for long, so please be sure to grab one before they're all gone. So check out all the awesome gear and apparel, including the Venom-inspired shirt, at newrockstarsmerch.com. It's a great way to support the channel and to show your passion for all things nerdy. But before we continue, we do want to thank Adam and Eve for sponsoring this video. As the weather cools off, a lot of us are going to shift from outdoor activities to more indoor activities in the coming months. Well, our friends at Adam and Eve are here to help with one of our most fun indoor activities. And I'm not talking about Scrabble, y'all, though they definitely sell some things that could make Scrabble more exciting. That's what I'm saying, you know. Have you ever played Scrabble with your clothes off, Brandon? It's pretty fun.
A little strip Scrabble. Hello.
They also sell some clothing that could definitely be repurposed for a Halloween costume if you're looking to raise some eyebrows this October 31st, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, a little Lady Venom always raises my eyebrows a little bit.
Right? AdamandEve.com is offering 50% off just about any item, and plus free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 50% off one item and free shipping? It's not really that hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. And it could be an adventurous new toy or anything you think could make your indoor time a little bit more fun this fall. So just enter code MARVEL at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item. So go to AdamandEve.com today, select one item, and get 50% off, including free shipping, when you enter code MARVEL. That is M-A-R-V-E-L, MARVEL, at AdamandEve.com. So, Brandon, I got a question for you. So, after that insane mid-credit sequence, it looks like our favorite symbiote is now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What do you think this means going forward, Brandon?
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. Like, this is everything we've been, like, hoping for, right? And kind of been wondering for a while, like, how close is the Venomverse to the MCU?
Right.
And it looks like they're not taking the whole thing. They're just taking our little boy Venom and plucking him out. But I mean, I think the craziest thing is, you know, we've seen the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. We know there's this spell that Doctor Strange, maybe not Doctor Strange, does. And then at the end, you know, we see like the Green Goblin's pumpkin bomb and we see Doc Ock from the Raimiverse. So we kind of get like a little glimpse of what it looks like on the other side of that spell, right? Because, you know, Venom and Eddie are taken, the room changes around them. So they're still in the same place, but just in a different timeline or a different universe, which I think is like crazy. That's totally nuts. It really blew my mind. I was like, oh, this kind of is like a sneak peek into what we're going to see in the next movie, or maybe never even see in Doctor Strange. We might not see the other side, what it looks like for the villains who get brought into the MCU like that.
Yeah. And like, I found it really striking that like the entire universe changed around Venom and Eddie, but they seem to retain the memories of the past universe. Whereas that guy was like, what are you doing in my room? Like, what is this? Like, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, it kind of makes me wonder whether or not that, like, you know, that primordial or like that really old, you know, connection that, you know, Venom has to his, you know, past and like, you know, the Clintar race being like the super old race. I wonder if that has to do with, you know, Eddie remembering their memories, because like he is this being that sort of existed sort of pre Big Bang.
Right.
Like, does this mean that the Venom universe and the MCU merged into one universe? Like, are we like experiencing this weird, like, all right, like just Eddie and Venom just got, I don't know, transported to the MCU and only them.
I think your really latter point is more right, MT. Like, I think this is just like a fun crossover. It's going to be like a fun crossover episode. And depending on what happens in Spider-Man No Way Home, Eddie and Venom might find a way home and might find their way back to their own universe towards the end. Mm. But what is crazy, MT, is how did Venom like right away know who or what Spider-Man was and know that that should be a target? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that, you know, because they were watching the news and because Peter Parker, of course, with the events of Spider-Man Far From Home, is a criminal. Venom's like, hey, this is that's a criminal and he looks pretty good. He looks like a strong young man. He's a high profile
criminal.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm sure he's hearing with the audio. It's like, oh, the hero Spider-Man. And like, you know, he uses strength to kill Mysterio and all this stuff. He's like, that guy's pretty strong. I don't know why I'm doing a Venom impression.
I like your Venom voice. That's what I'm doing right
now. He's like, oh, that guy's pretty strong. He looks delicious. He could maybe even be a better match than Eddie. Who knows?
Are we going to see Black Suit Spider-Man again?
Ooh. I mean, I feel like you can't put Venom in a Spider-Man movie without giving us Black Suit Spider-Man.
Like, because
action figures need to be sold, Brandon. Right. Action figures need to be sold. And we haven't had a Black Suit Spider-Man.
In the trailer Spider-Man No Way Home, he's wearing that black suit with kind of like a little bit of gold trim on it. Like, I don't know. Could that have been Venom?
That's definitely his, that's his Doctor Strange inspired suit. I think that's his like multiverse traveling suit.
Maybe, but I don't know.
That could be the seeds, because we got Night Monkey in Far From Home, and now we got this black suit. So, and then we get Venom in the next one. So who knows?
Gotta sell
We're just
toys.
Graduating black suits slowly until we get the real evil black suit.
I mean, that's a great point, MT, that you were making, that like the thing they see on the news is J. Jonah Jameson saying like, this is a bad guy. This is the number one menace. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. And Venom, who's like made it clear in this movie that he wants to be, you know, the lethal protector. He wants to be the
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
The hero, he wants to eat the bad guys. And like, if this is the number one bad guy, like that's who he wants to go after. I also think that, you know, right when that moment happens, you know, Venom is describing, oh, I'm plugged into this hive mind, and we get all the knowledge from all the symbiotes from throughout time. And he even says something like like our knowledge of the universes or across the universes, almost that like the symbiotes are aware that there are multiple universes. And I'm wondering in that moment that they get plucked out of the Sony Venomverse and put into the MCU, if Venom is immediately tied into whatever symbiotic hive mind exists there, and those symbiotes are aware of Spider-Man somehow, or aware of Peter Parker, and he immediately is like, oh yeah, this is the one, I know who this is. And Eddie's just kind of catching up slowly, but like Venom right away is like, oh, I know what's going on right away, right now, I'm here, let's do it. And maybe there are already symbiotes who are aware of Spider-Man. Maybe Null's out there and aware of Spider-Man. I don't know.
Oh,
but like,
yes. Oh, this movie 100% teases Null. Like, that's the only thing that I was most excited about while leaving this movie. I was like, oh my God, he mentioned the billions of years of hide knowledge. And like, we're getting into like this weird, like, you know, multiverses and like the Big Bang and the initial singularity and all that stuff. So like, we're definitely going to see Null in the future. That is something that I am most confident about. Like, put that, like, I'm put myself on the record.
Okay.
Like, we're going to see Null in the future of the Sony Venomverse. Like, there's no way that we're not going to. But no, like, what you said with the universes and, like, the hive minds, like, crossing across universes. We have seen a symbiote fight a Spider-Man in Spider-Man 3 in the Raimi trilogy. So, like, if that little multiverse thing didn't happen at the end of Venom, I feel like Tom Hardy was probably going to witness the events of Spider-Man 3, because that symbiote was there and was probably connected to the hive mind as well. So he's like, oh, shoot, that's what he was doing before he died. But yeah, no, this, I feel like there's probably going to be some link between maybe like the Venom, the Clintar race, and maybe like the spider totem connection that is in the Spider-Verse comics,
because
all the Spider-Men are connected, and it seems like all the Venoms are connected throughout universes as well, because we do have the Venomverse comics in the comics, where they had this weird like series where like it's like there's different Venoms from different universes, like, because they had to, you know, capitalize on the Spider-Verse stuff,
of course, Venom. Of course.
But yeah, no, there is a Venomverse, and I think they just tease it in this video. So, I mean, this movie. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, it was pretty wild stuff, because, you know, they have not made any hints that this crossover was going to happen anytime soon. And it seemed like, you know, Sony and Marvel have kind of been like, you know, in their separate camps and doing their thing and sharing Spider-Man a little bit. But it's been very testy, and it's been, you know, it's played out interesting in the news. So this was just kind of a shock, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like, okay. This will be exciting, and I'm very excited to see, you know, Venom appear in Spider-Man No Way Home and what that means. And is this going to push Venom to more of a bad guy role or more of a good guy role? I don't know. You know, Venom has been our protagonist in these films, for lack of a better word, because he's still kind of bad. He's still eating people. You know, even if they are criminals, they deserve their day in court. You don't just deserve to get your head bitten off for mugging somebody. And also, like you said,
I don't know, Brandon, that's seems like a controversial statement.
You know, an eye for an eye got brought up in this movie. But like, true. Venom, like you said, like Venom, like host hopping and killing these people he's hopping into,
really messed up,
is very messed up. It's some dark stuff when you really think about it. Because I was, you know, I was thinking, like, in the first Venom movie, we did see a lot of people die. You know, the homeless woman that Eddie knew and, you know, tried to rescue from the Life Foundation, she passed away. Like, all those homeless test subjects died. We see Jenny Slate's character die, even though she was a part of it. So she's kind of evil. She tried to stop it. She was scared. Her children were threatened. You know, so, you know, we were going through this movie and I was like, oh, there's not as much innocent death in this one until, like, he started host hopping. So this next level of Venom, Venom in the light of the MCU will be very interesting because I think he's definitely on the bad side. Even if his intentions deep down are maybe good, he's going to be a villain. You know, I think he's going to be put on the bad side. We'll see if he helps Spider-Man or just tries to eat him. I don't know.
Well, I have a question for you, Brandon, because sure. Like with Venom, of course, we talked about the whole black suit thing. Is there a chance that we could see Venom duplicate himself like he did in this last movie with Peter? And so, like, Peter has his own version of Venom after, you know, fighting with Eddie. And it's like, so, and like, that's where his struggle goes in after No Way Home. It's like, all right, now I have a piece of Venom with me. And, like, Eddie has his Venom. And, like, now I have, like, my Venom.
Oh, like a Tom, like, Venom. Almost another almost another child of Venom that, like, goes into it. Oh, okay. That I would love for a little piece of Venom to stick around. If he gets put back in his own universe, that's fine. But let's leave a little bit in the MCU. You know, we'd love to see some symbiote action, especially if Null's going to show up. We need to have the symbiote.
Exactly. Here. And, like, I feel like because Venom is this new anti-hero character, Sony probably doesn't want Spider-Man to be like, oh, no, Venom is this super evil guy. Like, they kind of want to separate, like, the Venom from the movies with, like, whatever Venom that Peter is going to struggle with in his movies. Because... Mm-hmm. You know, that is supposed to be his, like, bad guy. Like, he's supposed to struggle with his, you know, his very angry and evil dark part of himself.
Right.
So, like, I wonder if they're just going to make a completely new Venom, because I feel like that makes the most sense with, because they do want to make a Venom 3 with a sympathetic Venom. So I feel like that's the best way to do it.
I would also love a Venom to stick around because I want the Thunderbolts, man. I want the Thunderbolts so bad.
Man.
And Venom in the Thunderbolts is great. He's like a great character to have in the Thunderbolts.
He's perfect. Literally, Val would go straight up to Eddie and be like, hey, where did you come from?
Don't care.
Come join my team.
You're working for me. You're done being a journalist, buddy. I mean, if they're going to have Abomination in the Thunderbolts, I think it's tough because Venom and Abomination kind of fill the same role. You know, they're the tanks.
Right.
They're the big tough guys. They're the muscle. So I don't know if you can have both, but I love the run in the comics when Venom is in the Thunderbolts. It's so much fun. It's fun to have this character who you got to feed people to every now and then, but he's fighting on the good side. It's a lot of fun. I have one other question about this for you, MT. When they hop over and they see J. Jonah Jameson, do you think there is a J. Jonah Jameson in the Sony Venomverse? Like, Eddie worked for the Daily Bugle. You know, we saw him writing for the Daily Bugle. And in the first movie, he talks about, you know, he was in New York and got kicked out, got driven out of New York. Was there a J. Jonah Jameson in his universe? Do you think they're familiar with that character, like, right off the bat?
Absolutely. This is the whole J. Jonah Jameson-iverse. That's the whole Sony. He's the backbone of the entire Sony cinematic universe.
He's the linchpin.
Honestly, I would really love if there was really a Jonah Jameson.
Do you think it's also J.K. Simmons? Or they'll put, like, a different character? I mean, you got to leave J.K.
Simmons. It
has to be
J.K.
Right?
Simmons. Please, J.K. Simmons. In every universe, different hairstyle.
Yes. Oh, I just want a different
I want a mohawk J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. I want to have like a rat top tail J.K. Simmons. You know what I mean? He's got a mullet maybe, like something like that.
Here's another question that wasn't really exactly answered in this movie. How the hell did Shriek get her powers?
Because
they just sort of just like, oh, here's Cletus' girlfriend. She has powers. And that's it.
Is she
a mutant? Could she be a mutant?
I mean, it seems like it's definitely trending towards mutant, right? Because she's a young woman whose powers are like coming to fruition. We don't really know why she's locked up in this institution. I assume because she's used her powers and maybe hurt somebody or killed somebody, right? And she says, like, my powers are getting stronger, and that's why they're going to move her to a new facility. You know, they have this whole secretive Ravencroft facility where even didn't Detective Mulligan say something like this place – no one knew it existed or something. Like, it was hidden away in the hills.
Like, he thought he killed that girl.
Yeah.
So, like, he was like, whoa, what is this place and why is she alive?
So we have this mysterious facility. It's, like, off the grid. It's ostensibly not a government agency, it doesn't seem like. Or if it is, it's way above what the SFPD knows.
I saw some kids Naruto running to Ravencroft because they thought it was Area 51.
Trying to break them out.
That was very interesting.
Trying to break them out. And we know that Sony just has the rights to the Spider-Man. They don't have the rights to the X-Men and mutants and all that. And that was Fox. And now Marvel's pulled that back in. Disney's got that now.
Yeah.
They're sucking them in.
Wallet money.
So, but it was just mysterious. They kind of, no one seemed to question why this woman was able to do these things. Mm-hmm. So are there like more mutants in the Venomverse that are, is it more common there to have people with powers? Like, it didn't seem like right. that shocking to anybody. Like, no one, you know, no one off to the side was like, whoa, did that lady just like scream at a helicopter? Like, what happened? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And they have this facility built up. They had that mysterious woman who was running the facility who died. I thought she would survive.
Immediately.
She died immediately.
Right? I thought that they're setting her up for like Venom 3. It's like, we have all these superheroes yeah. here. Or like,
yeah,
super
we have
villains.
All these. They had that Siegfried guy who they mentioned mm-hmm. by name is Siegfried. I couldn't establish who he was. I looked around a little bit, maybe to look around some more. I don't know if he was another powered individual, why he was locked up in there. But yeah, it does seem like she might be a mutant, right? They didn't give us any backstory of like she's, you know, as a kid got some chemical splashed on her or anything like that. This seems to be the first example of like just a straight up person with powers that are yeah. unexplained.
Yeah, this could very much be like the MCU's first mutant, because in the comics, she is a mutant. I mean, other than in Black Widow, we did have Ursa Major, who was right. technically a mutant.
Right. This is like a mutant cousin of the MCU, right? Like,
yes.
Kind of a multiverse cousin. I wish they had said the word. I mean, I would have jumped up out of my seat if someone said the word mm-hmm. mutant. Like, lock up this mutie. I would have been jumping out of my seat, baby.
Lock up this mutant from the Marvel comics yes. right now.
Certified mutant, like if just a computer screen had been like, you know, Francis mutant, would have been really great. Maybe like the MCU is the only universe that doesn't have mutants yet, and they exist in every other one, and whatever, you know, breaking down of the multiverse between, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home and the Loki and the TVA and What If and whatever Scarlet Witch is up to is just going to bring them all in somehow. Let's get them going. I mean, we are just waiting for these mutants.
What the hell happened to Detective Mulligan anyway? Ooh. Like, will we be seeing Toxin in Venom 3?
I mean, I think they're certainly setting that up, right, MT? For those of you who don't know, Toxin is yet another symbiote in the symbiote mm-hmm. universe. But
Venom's
this
grandson,
one,
Toxin.
Grandson, yeah. Toxin is, in the comics, he was like the offspring of Carnage, who Carnage, also in the comics and in the movie, was the offspring of Venom. And Toxin is supposed to be the 1,000th offspring in the Venom line, you know? So
it's like you won one of those fake things on the internet. You're the 1,000th visitor. Oh, my God.
And because he's the 1,000th one, he's supposed to be like the most powerful. Like Carnage is more powerful than Venom, but now Toxin is supposed to be more powerful than Carnage and Venom. So I think they're definitely setting that up. You know, we saw his eyes glow blue and he said, Monsters
unleashed.
Well, like I do, so like you did mention that, like, you know, the Venom might have to fight another symbiote in Venom 3, but like, does that really have to be the case? Because he did fight Riot in Venom 1 and he did fight Carnage in Venom 2, so like, could it be possible that we could see Toxin and Venom team up in Venom 3 against a bigger threat, like maybe a Null? Because like Mulligan and Eddie seem to have like this weird like team up relationship at the end of the movie, and Mulligan is not entirely a bad dude. He just wanted credit for the whole Cletus stuff, because at the beginning, and he
was, you know, Mulligan, he's just a cop. He's trying to do his best, and he's working with what he's got. He's only has the resources of the police department, and he has to fight alien symbiotes. I mean, it's gonna be tough for this guy.
For some reason, they don't respect his badge. I don't know why aliens are so rude.
It was kind of weird that he kept going around being like, Why does Cletus make everyone think they see monsters? It's like, because he turned into a giant monster. I mean, do they not have video cameras at the prison? Like, did nobody see what happened? Like, I'm totally shocked.
Seriously, like, at least one camera should have caught that. Like, a
he made a Carnage tornado. He made a tornado. No one saw this.
Literally, that was the most wild part of the movie. I was like, wow, why don't you just pull that out every time you need to fight?
Two tornadoes all That's the time, very, dude. It's your most powerful move.
Like, you could have tornadoed that entire chapel in, like, that whole third act would have been over very quickly.
One thing that was very interesting is, like, in the comics, you know, Toxin does take over a police officer named Patrick Mulligan. That's the same. But also, initially when Toxin takes over Mulligan, they impersonate Spider-Man for a little bit.
That's right.
Symbiote kind of makes this the suit looks like a Spider-Man suit. It's like red and blue, I think. And so that if we aren't going to introduce Spider-Man, even if it's another universe, maybe this guy becomes the Spider-Man of this universe, or there is a Spider-Man in the Sony Venomverse. And that could be part of it, too, is like him trying to be a good guy. Like he is a cop. So he's like, maybe he wants to continue being a good guy. He knows now he knows about alien symbiotes. So he's going to be like, I'm going to suit up and I'm going to take this on. I'm going to do what my badge never let me do. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight with this toxin ability. But ultimately, he'll probably lean bad.
That's a good idea. Let's get Brandon on the Venom 3 writing team right now.
Put me next to Tom Hardy. We'll figure this thing out. So do you think Carnage is 100% dead? Do you think Venom eating him and biting off Cletus's head, that was enough to get rid of Carnage?
That's the question. That's the question with symbiotes, because, like, are they really, really dead? Because, like, in Venom 1, didn't we see Riot sort of merge with Venom for a little bit? Venom and Eddie? And,
like, yeah, when they were fighting.
When
they were fighting on this in the spaceship and there was all the noise, it created, like, a lot of stat. And I think at one point they did kind of, like, goop up together. Shout out to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Goop.
and if Toxin is an offspring of Carnage, then there could be some Carnage left somewhere. Who knows the rules with these symbiotes? They can do whatever they want. They're crazy. They're crazy little creatures.
We don't know if Cletus wrote with the Carnage symbiote the same way that Venom drew with the Venom symbiote at the beginning of the movie. And, like, we don't know what the long-term effects of, like, having, like, a piece of symbiote on a piece of paper could mean. Like, maybe you could just grow another symbiote from that little bit left behind.
That's a great point. If there was some blood left over. Also, when Venom's eating Carnage, it's very sloppy and sticky all over. It doesn't look like he gets it all in his mouth. So there could be a little
messy eater
squidgel squirting around down there, existing for a little
maybe
bit
the,
longer.
Maybe the pastor is now Carnage.
Maybe. Well, I think they bit his head off. I don't. It's
wait, did the pastor die?
I'm pretty sure
it was
sure
all
they bit,
very
they,
messy.
You know, it's PG-13, so they show every head biting off screen. So you have to kind of, like, it's implied.
Imagine it. Well, finally, Brandon, one of the biggest questions leaving this film is, how old is Venom exactly? Because he seems pretty damn old.
That's a great question, MT, because, like, he does mention, you know, like, all the knowledge, but I agree. I think that's, like, a hive mind thing. It's like everyone gets all the knowledge together. You know, in the first movie, when they were taken off the comet, you know, he mentioned that, like, Riot was, like, the boss, right? He was the one in charge. So I assume he was, like, maybe the elder symbiote that was taken off that comet. And he does say, you know, one thing they brought up in the first one was, like, I got to protect Earth from, like, all the symbiotes that could come and do damage. But that makes me think he's, like, a younger version of a symbiote. Now, we don't know how long the symbiotes live for. You know, young to them might be a few thousand years. Like, you look at, like, Thor, who's, like, 5,000 years old or whatever. So young is relative. But it does seem like Venom has, like, that adolescent streak to him where he's very altruistic. He thinks he can do good, but he doesn't always think things through all the way. Doesn't think through the consequences of his actions. He's very impulsive. So I think he's, like, a younger guy. I think he younger symbiote guy. You know, he's got that young streak to him. So whether that means he's 15 years old or 15,000 years old, I can't say. But I think in the timeline of symbiotes, I think he's on the younger side. Because he's got that youthful energy, he's got that altruism, and he doesn't think through his actions all the time. What do you think, MT?
I'd like to think that Venom was Clintar's version of Dennis the Menace, and Riot was Mr. Wilson. He's like, where's Dennis? He's just trying to get Dennis the Menace off this planet. He's like, we just need to find Dennis. He's a menace. We need to bring him back to Clintar. But no, I think that, you know, I think that you probably are right here. Riot had a lot more experience. He was a lot more, you know, dedicated to his planet's cause, like sort of like Zod in Man of Steel. It's like, all right, we want to, you know, expand our empire sort of or just grow more. And so whereas Venom is more like, you know, your Kal-El, it's like, all right, I don't want to be part of this group of people that are just assholes. And, like, I'm a loser there anyway. And, like, I'm a little bit more compassionate than my My brother's over there, so I'm going to be a hero over here.
Yeah, he wants to go out. He wants to party. He wants to live life. Like, he's on, in the first one, he's on Earth for like a couple of days, and he's like, I love it. I want to stay. Let's save this planet, baby.
It's like, not so bad.
Not so bad. I like it here.
I do love that Eddie constantly calls Venom's planet Ming Mong or whatever. That makes me laugh the most. I want to like, you know, in the middle of Venom 3, right, they cut to space and you see a planet and the little title card says Ming Mong.
And I hope we meet Venom's mom so we can meet his Ming Mong mom.
Ming Mong mom?
Well, that is it for this special episode of Inside Marvel. I want to thank Brandon for joining me this episode. You can follow him at Grin and Barrack on Twitter. And you can follow me at Mastertainment if you want to see me tweet some weird shit. And of course, please follow New Rockstars wherever we are, especially on Twitter at New Rockstars or on YouTube. And when you do on YouTube, please hit that notification bell so you can get notifications every time we upload a video. And please, of course, hit up newrockstarsmerch.com so you can see all of our great merch options, including that new Venom shirt. But anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. We love you, and goodbye.
Thank you.